Amen. Well, hello, Miracle Life family. We love you so much, and we have been praying for you. Thanks so much for making a difference in our world and allowing your light to shine for Jesus. We've got a few things that we want to emphasize to you this morning. We're doing our best to provide various types of ministry for you, Impact Youth, and MKids. One area that we can't replicate online is the vital relationships that God wants us to have with one another. Miracle Life Connection Groups are still running very creatively. Some are being done on WhatsApp, while others are being done by video calls. If you are in a connection group, please make sure that you participate and have fellowship with one another, even in a different way. If you're not in a connection group, contact the church, and we will make sure that we get you joined into a connection group. It's vital now that we are looking out for one another, sharing God's love, and lifting each other up in prayer. Stay connected.
Amen. A couple things else we want to mention. Most of you are aware that the president made a statement earlier in the week, and there are new health regulations and measures that are in place. And the Bible is very, very clear for us as Christians that we are to obey the laws of the land, and so we implore you to do so. We also recognize that for some of you, that may mean a sacrifice. But it is for your good and it is for the good of others. So not only do that, but be an example. And then also, and again, the Ministry of Health has told us, keep spatial distances in your social gatherings. No gatherings over 50. Wash your hands. Keep to yourself as much as you possibly can. And we're going to get through this. All of this in Jesus' name.
Amen. If you are a Miracle Life member and you are facing a crisis, you've got problems in your life, again, please let us know. We are here for you. This is a body and we can help one another. But we can't connect with you if you don't reach out to us. So please reach out if there's anything that we can do to help you during this time.
Amen. And then what Jesus told us, the greatest commandments, is to love God and to love each other. And so we encourage you this coming week, regardless of what that looks like for you, spend time with the Lord, worship, read the Word, get together as a family if you're in the same house, but call your friends and share God's Word with one another and reach out to other people. Sometimes when things are weird or strange, we kind of tend to go inside, but reach out to other people. Let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you to make a huge, huge difference for other people. So we love you so much and believe we're going to get through this 100%.
Amen. Believe you'll have a great week in front of you.
Amen. Thank you so much. We're going to look today at a very important part of Scripture, and that is to the Psalms. And the Psalms were written not by angels in heaven, but they were written by people on the earth. And when you know the backstory of some of the Psalms, there were tough times. There were things that the psalmists were facing. And so they were going through things, but the Psalms help us to turn our attention to God. It helps us to turn our attention on who He is and what He does. Many of them are psalms of praise, of worship, but they are God-centered. And so we're going to go through a psalm today, and we're going to read it and comment and kind of study our way through it. But we believe that God is going to speak to us as we go through this psalm. So turn with me to Psalm 33, the 33rd psalm, and we're going to take some time and let God do wonderful, wonderful things in our mind and our heart. So we're going to read, this is 22 verses, so we're going to read a portion, and then we're going to go into it with and let the Holy Spirit speak some things to us. All right? So Psalm 33 and verse 1. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to Him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. Now, the last part of verse 3, unfortunately, I can't do because it says to play skillfully. I can't play skillfully, but some of you can. But what this is, these first three verses, they are a call to worship. But I want you to notice it does not say to shout and to sing and to give thanks. At the very end, it says with loud shouts. It does not say to do that in a church building. It doesn't say to do that of a gathering of believers. So we certainly do those things when we're together in the building where Miracle Life assembles. But I want to implore you this week, do this. Sing to the Lord. Now, whether you put on some music and get some help to do that, or whether you just do that out of your heart and shout with loud shouts, give praise to God. You know, I think sometimes life, we've got to increase our volume more than the volume around us. And we've got to, this is for our own good, to extol and to celebrate the Lord and what He has done. So we have a responsibility. All right, if you're watching this with somebody else, tell them this verse is for you. All right, it is something that God commands us to do. Now, in verse 2, notice it says, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. And one of the things that we see in Psalms is that typically Psalms has, Lord, we give you thanks because. And there's reasons that we give thanks. And I don't know what you have faced this week. I don't know what trouble you may or may not have, or what victories you faced this week. My wife and I had some wonderful victories this week of the faithfulness of God and of His keeping power and coming through for people. And so be specific in your thanks. And so meet together as friends. Meet together online and say, I just want to give thanks to the Lord for dot, 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 and fill in the blank. As God has been good to you. Amen? Let's pick up in verse 4. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. Some amazing things here in these verses. All right, so the word of the Lord is upright, and all of His work is done in faithfulness. So God's word and His work are in line with one another. What He says is what He does, and if His word is true, it's because that's who He is, and His works follow. And so this psalm is a lot about what God says and what God does. And so we can trust Him, we can thank Him for both of these things. All right. Verse 5, He loves righteousness and justice. All right. So one of the things that means is so do we. So do we. I don't know if you're a trader or not, if you buy and sell things, but what that means is that you don't increase and gouge prices during this time. If you're selling hand sanitizer, hallelujah, amen. Now, we're not talking about other people. We're talking about you. Justice and righteousness and fairness. Again, a lot of times when there's trouble or there's tightness, we tend to do things for ourselves at the expense of other people. That's not how God is. He loves righteousness and justice. So guess what? So do we. We live that way. Indeed, we display what He's like. And then the second part of verse 5, the earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. Now, if you were with us, well, I guess this would have been last year, a couple times, we did some studies about who God has, what He said about Himself and who He is. And that word steadfast love is the Hebrew word chesed, covenant faithfulness, enduring love. It's a word that we have a lot of hard time to articulate it. But here's what it says. It says, the earth is full of God's chesed to you. The earth is full of it. Now, in this same earth, if we go back into the story of the Bible, how many know the earth is not functioning the way God created it to function? Not because God messed up, but because of our sin. We brought the thorns and the thistles. We brought the hardness and the things that are here today. And so even though there are things that are happening in the world because of the curse, because of the fall, still the earth is full of God's chesed. I don't know if you've noticed that the birds in Lusaka and Zambia, they didn't get the memo about the pandemic. They're still singing. They're still rejoicing. The sun is coming up every morning, and his mercies are new. So while there's stuff that's happening, the earth is filled. And so I just encourage you, depending on whatever you live, but take times out to get outside and look. And the Bible says, count the stars and see the faithfulness of God. They declare the goodness of God. And so see God by what he has done through his creation. Amen? So the world is full of his steadfast love. So I'm going to ask you a question. Are you looking for it? Are you looking for it? All right? Because it's there. All right? Verse 6 and 7. It says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their trust, all their host. He gathers the water of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. All right, so verse 5 talked about that the earth is filled with his steadfast love, filled with his chesed. And then this elaborates on that very same point, that the proof of who God is in his creation, in what he has done. And it says that he made from his breath. You see, you and I as human beings, we can't actually create from nothing. We can form and we can fashion, and we certainly have, God has made us to be creative, but God made the world out of nothing. He made it from his breath. He's so good. All right. And he gathers. God is at work on his earth. All right. And all of its inhabitants. Verse 8. Now, what we see in Genesis, especially in Genesis chapter 1, is that there was a day that God created earth, or he created spaces, and then the next day he would fill it. And then he'd make something, the sea, and he'd fill it. He'd make the skies and he would fill it. And his final filling on day 6 was you and me. The earth was designed to be filled with us. We are not mistakes. We're not accidents, but we're created by an incredibly wonderful, amazing God. All right? So, verse number 9, for he spoke and it came to be, he commanded and it stood firm. So again, created by the very mouth and the breath of God. All right, let's look at verses 10 to 12 here. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the people. So notice, so our counsel sometimes isn't so great. I mean, God can cancel it. But notice his counsel in verse 11, because it's a contrast. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. The plans of his heart. Now, what we see in the Bible is that there is one overarching plan of God in the entire Bible. And that's to redeem us. It's to crush the serpent's head. And ultimately, our redemption ends in heaven and a new heaven and a new earth. And I don't know about you these days, but sometimes you wonder, God, we could really use a new earth. We could use a new heaven. And that's the thing, is that when we read the end of the book, it all ends up okay. All right? Because God is at work. All right. And so the counsel of the Lord stands. Verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. Now, we looked a lot at this idea last year and then this year. And so the nation, the nation. Well, which nation has God chosen? Well, no. It's not a geographical state anymore. It's not a nation with a boundary. This nation is what we saw in 1 Peter 2. It is the holy nation. All right? And this holy nation has not yet been recognized by the United Nations. It's the people of God. It's the people of God that are drawn out of every tribe and every tongue and every ethnic group. We are the people of God. And so because we are, God says, blessed. Blessed is that people. All right, so you and I, as the people of God, even though we've got a crazy world and there's uncertainty, the Bible declares here and all over the place, we are blessed. That was the song that we sang this morning, that we are blessed. We're favored by God. All right, let's keep reading. Verse 12. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of men. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fathoms the heart of them all and observes all their deeds. Boy, if that doesn't tell you that God is God and we're not. Right now, 7 billion plus minus people on the earth. And what does God do at one time, at the same time? He sees our hearts. He knows our behavior. He knows what's going on. Aren't you glad he does? Nothing is hidden from his sight. Verse 16, the king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation. And by its great might, it cannot rescue. So these two verses are saying that a lot of people on the earth put trust in what they can do. Their own, you could say, scheming or getting a war horse or these plans. And these verses are saying that is not where we are to put our trust. There's elsewhere in the Bible it says, some trust in horses and chariots, but we will trust in the name of our Lord. All right. So the best efforts of man, many, many times, are not enough. All right. And so today in this season that we're living in, I can tell you in world history, this is not the last time where people are going to kind of put up their hands and say, I don't know what to do. We don't have a vaccine. We can't figure this out. All right. It is the very nature of man to be limited. Now, I'm so thankful for what we do know. But if you're trusting in horses or chariots or a king, oh, you're going to be disappointed. That's what the Bible tells us. All right. I remember a pastor sharing this one time, an American pastor, and he was invited to the White House to pray with a certain president. And over the years that this president was in the White House, he would go once a month and he would pray, and he was discreet about it. You know, he didn't put it on Instagram, hashtag praying with the prez. And he was just there to serve and everything. And he would pray, and they wouldn't really talk, or he wasn't an advisor, but just simply to pray. And he would leave, and there was all kinds of security and important offices and all these different things that were happening there. And he would leave the White House, and he'd get into a car, and he would leave, and there'd be all kinds of security. And as he would leave the gate, and he'd be driving down the road, he said it would always hit him. The people in that house think they have so much power. But they don't. They can raise taxes, lower taxes. White House could blow up countries. But only God Almighty has the power to change a human heart. The greatest need that we have in our world is that mankind is lost. Mankind is innately sinful. Can a leopard change his spots? No. But who can? God can. And he realized that while there was this false hope of power in that house, he realized that the people of God, the church of Jesus, those you and I who are called out, we're the children of God, we have been given the power of God. Because the Bible says that he's entrusted to us the gospel. The Bible was really clear. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. And so not only does God have the power, but he has also entrusted that power to us. And he's graced us with his amazing, amazing ability. Now, in a sense, all of this text, I think, all of this psalm is a setup for verses 18 and 19. All right, so God is the one who created. God is the one who can frustrate the plans of man. Man might think they have power, but yet they're honestly deceived. All right, and it's all set up for verse 18 and 19. Behold, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love. There's chesed again. Verse 19, that, all right, so there's a result here, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. So let's unpack that. Let's look at that, all right? So you and I are called to hope in his chesed. We are called to hope in his steadfast love. Now, remember the preceding verses? Kings and chariots and plan. That's not where we put our hope. We put our hope in God's covenant love. That's what he has said about himself. That is the basis of our hope. Now, again, I'm so thankful for leaders in our nation, leaders around the world, and we're going to finish up our service today. We're going to pray for them. As Pastor Benjamin mentioned, you pray for them, but we're going to actually finish the service and pray, all right? I am so thankful right now that scientists are working. I just read thousands and thousands of scientists are under a microscope and doing all of this. May God help them and may God bless them. Economists are thinking about prices and currency and all these different things. And again, may God bless them. Is your hope in an economist? Is your hope in a scientist? I sure hope not. The leading scientist 300 years ago, if you were sick, they'd go get a leech and put it on your body to suck out the disease. They didn't know what they were talking about. All right, again, thank God we know more. But our hope is in God's covenant love, full stop, because he is trustworthy. Now, when God says his covenant love, again, if you're reading this at the time, Psalm 33, as a Jewish follower of Yahweh, then these words, you remember them. You remember them of what you learned. And so go to Psalm 86, verse 15. Psalm 86, verse 15. And this is a statement that is a summary of that text that we studied last year, Exodus 34, 6 and 7. God's self-declaration about himself. So when God says he is something, oh, please, please believe him. Believe him. All right. Let him define who he is, because he has. All right. Psalm 86, verse 15. But you, O Lord. So again, all the psalmist is doing is quoting back to God what he said about himself. You, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, chesed, and emet, faithfulness. Covenant love and faithfulness. God said he abounds in them. Abounds. Is there any problem on this earth that is greater than his abounding love? No, no. Is there any problem that we're ever going to face that is greater than his abounding faithfulness? No. Let God be true and every man a liar. His word is true. It's settled in heaven. So, you and I, and here's this invitation, you and I are simply invited to trust God for what he has said about himself, his very nature, this covenant love that sticks. Somebody described chesed one time, and I thought this was a great definition. Because sometimes in songs and movies, we see ooey-gooey love and the slow motion and the filter comes and they're running and the hair's blowing, whatever it is. That's not chesed. Covenant love was described in this way. It's a husband who's been married to his wife for 45 years. And for the next 10 years, He feeds her 3 meals a day in her bed because she can't get out of her bed. But every morning, every lunch, every supper, he goes and he goes. She can't do it. She can't help. But he made a vow that I'll be good to you all the days of your life until death separates us. That's covenant love. It's not mushy. It sticks. It is, and it sticks through storms. All right. So this covenant love. So God says, trust me in this way. All right. Go back to verse 19. I'd encourage even on online church, man, get your Bible, open your Bible. All right. Keep it with you. Mark in it. Circle it. Send scriptures to your friends. All right. So when we trust in God in such a way, he will deliver our soul from death and keep us alive in famine. Famine. In those days, you died in famine. All right. Because there was no grocery store to go to. All right. So if the earth was not producing, you're in trouble and you're going to die. God says, people who trust in my covenant love and my faithfulness, even when there's famine around, I will keep you alive. I will sustain your soul. And I'm not asking you to turn off the news or not to be aware, but don't let the news have the last laugh. Don't let what you're hearing around you or the talks of famine, that is not the final answer. God says he is faithful. All right. So no matter how bad it gets, he keeps us from death. He keeps us from famine. Amen. He's able to keep us alive. Now, how's he going to do that? You know, that's actually his problem, isn't it? All right. We're going to follow him. We're going to follow his ways. We're going to be smart, but we're also going to trust in him. All right. So if you think of that word sustain, and some of you might be even helping someone like this, but in our physical world, people who are very young, and many times people who are very old, they can't sustain themselves, can they? All right. I've not been to the butchery and there's a 9-month-old baby that's buying pork ribs. All right. Someone has to keep them alive. Someone bigger than them, stronger than them, smarter than them. And many times, again, at the end of life, it kind of reverts back to that someone else has to actually keep you alive and sustain your life. And so you might be saying, well, I'm sustaining Auntie this one or that, and we're involved in that as well. All right. That's who God is to us. He's our sustainer. He's the one who keeps us. All right. So all the psalm has said what God will do based on his character and that we can trust him. All right. And then now at the very, very end, there's a response from the human heart, a response in verse 20. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in him. Even during a famine, yeah, our heart is glad in him. Glad with the news? No. Our heart is glad in him. And so that means our gladness doesn't have to falter because we trust in his holy name. I would encourage you that verse 20 and 21, say those out loud. Say them to the Lord. Make them a prayer to the Lord. And then verse 22 is actually then a closing prayer. And it's to the Lord. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, let your chesed be upon us, even as we hope in you. We hope in you. Now, hope is not just in the sweet, sweet by and by, but it is a confident, expectant of result of what God is going to do for us. All right. It is a confident expectation of something in the future. All right. And so how do we have that? Because of what God has said about himself and what he has already done, what he's already proven in our life. And so I hope today, and I hope this psalm is from God to you, and it is an invitation for you to trust him. It's an invitation for you to look to him. I encourage you to go through this more on your own. Go through this. We'll have notes for connection groups of how we can study and process this. But pray over this. Let these words come out of your heart even tonight as you're going to bed. All right. We don't know what this next week is going to have for us, or whatever changes are going to happen. But here's what we know. God is good. God is on our side, and he's faithful. Amen. So where you are right now, again, you might be with some people in a living room. Don't hold hands, but let's bow our heads. Let's look to the Lord this morning as we pray. Father, we look to you. And Father, thank you for your word, because it gives us a basis to trust you. God, it's not what we make up in our mind. It's not what we see outside of our window. Lord, it's not a philosophy. It's not a nice song or a preacher's cute little quote. It's your holy written word. And so, Father, you've put things here in Psalm 33 to let us know who you are, how you treat us. And Lord, that hope is an anchor. It's an anchor for our soul. Father, I pray for anyone who's participating in this online church service, Father, that their life seems that there's no anchor, that the storms are carrying them. Father, I pray right now that they would put their anchor down in you, in what you have said, in your character. Father, regardless of what they hear, regardless of what they've seen, regardless of what their experience is, God, we trust you. We trust you. We trust you today. We trust you this week. We trust you every day of our long, productive, fruitful life here on this earth that you've allowed us to live in. Father, thank you. Thank you. We praise you. We bless you, for you are good. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. Your mercy endures forever. Now, as we get ready to close the service, I believe the Lord wants to minister to some folks, and we're going to have a time of prayer together wherever you're watching. First of all, if you're watching today, maybe you're not a regular member of America Life, maybe you've attended from time to time, or maybe you just found this online on YouTube or Facebook and you just clicked it. We're so glad that you're watching and that you're attending this service with us. But I want to ask you tonight, this morning, where would you go tonight as you would put your head on your pillow? And maybe this was your last night. Maybe this was your last night on planet Earth. Where would you go? Because the Bible's really clear that it's appointed for all of us to die once. I think we agree with that. And after that, is what the Bible says, after that, the judgment. Not a judgment by your parents, not a judgment by your friends or your spouse, but the God who created the earth, the God who created you. There's going to be a decision made about your eternity by God. Now, world religions and human beings have kind of made up some rules and regulations. Well, I think this is how it works. I think this is how it works. No, no, no. God's really, really clear. There is a place called heaven, and people who are forgiven and redeemed and cleansed, they go there. And there's a place called hell, and real people go there after death. And here's the thing. You actually don't have to be bad to go to hell. You just have to reject Jesus. Because we were born into sin and we need a Savior. There's only one substitute. There's only one solution. There's only one name under heaven whereby we must be saved, the name of Jesus. And so I ask you this morning, have you bowed your knee to King Jesus? Not if you've been good, not if you've been pious, not if you've gone to church here and there. And here's the other thing. You can't be so bad that you can't do this. Paul in the Bible said he was the chief of sinners. Maybe you feel that way. But guess what? He said, I obtained mercy. I obtained mercy. And so if you're watching right now and you don't know Jesus, you're not in the family of God, or maybe you're a backslidden Christian, someone far from God, like we see the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, come home. Come home to a father who loves you. A father who will cleanse and clothe you. A father who will provide for you. Stop running away from God. Come home. Come home to him. And so if that's you, and you want to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, wherever you are right now, just go ahead and bow your head. Just go ahead. You might be watching this on a phone in a minibus. All right. Go ahead and bow your head. I want you to say this prayer with me. So I'm going to say a prayer. After I say it, you say it. All right. Say these words with me. Say, God, I believe that you sent Jesus Christ to die in my place. He suffered on the cross. You raised him from the dead so I could know you. God, I turn my back on every sin and I follow Jesus now. Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior. I follow you with my whole heart for the rest of my life. God, I thank you. You've heard my prayer. I am now in your family. I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, here's what the Bible says. All of heaven is rejoicing. As Miracle Life, we're so sorry we can't give you a big physical hug right now, but we want to help you take steps with God. We want to help you connect with a great local church. And so wherever you're, go ahead and just put in the comments that I just prayed that prayer. I made Jesus Christ my Lord. And somebody will connect with you and make sure that you are able to make great, great next steps with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. We're so glad for you. Now, if you're watching, if you're a Miracle Life member, as Pastor Haley mentioned earlier, hey, if you're going through a tough time, we want to help you. All right. If there's a crisis or something, maybe you feel like, well, look, it's not a crisis, but I need some prayer. I'm going through stuff and I feel isolated. I don't get to see the people. Again, make sure you're in a connection group. But the other thing you can do is, again, whatever platform you're watching, just go ahead and make a comment. I need prayer. Hey, could somebody pray for me? And somebody will connect with you and we'll pray with you on the phone and we'll connect and help in every way that we possibly can. We love you. You are not alone and you don't have to face whatever you're facing alone. Amen? All right. So as we get ready to go, so in our closing prayer, one of the things, and we'd ask you to make this a prayer point for the whole week in your connection groups, but we'll go ahead and get started in this service, is we want to pray for leaders. The Bible says pray for those in authority. And the result is that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. If you look around the world, it's not too quiet. It's not too peaceable. All right. So let's pray for our leaders in the nation of Zambia, but in other nations. I think we have just figured out we are very, very connected in ways that we never had imagined. So let's pray for leaders that they would have wisdom. We haven't faced this, some of these things before. All right. So where you are right now, if you're with your family, but let's bow our head. We're going to pray for our leaders and then we're going to close this service. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we take our commission seriously that you said to pray for those who have authority. And Father, here in Zambia, we pray for President Lungu. We pray for every member of the cabinet. We pray for people who have ideas and permanent secretaries and people who are working in different departments. God, we thank you for Holy Ghost answers. We thank you for wisdom for this nation, for this time, for this week, in Jesus' name, Lord. Father, help us. Our eyes are on you. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, especially people, Lord, that have a relationship with you. Lord, may we seek you with our whole heart. And we thank you that you are answering. Father, we pray for everyone watching, every member of Miracle Life. Father, thank you that your hand is on us for good. Your goodness and your mercy follows us all the days of our life. And Lord, as we go into our world this week, as we have done corporately as a church, as we saw today, but in other ways, Lord, make us a blessing. Help us to be aware of people around us that are broken, that are hurting, whatever they are facing, God. Lord, as we turn our eyes on you, we also turn our eyes to helping others. And so, Father, whether that's through word or deed or through any way that we can help, Lord, help us and make us a great, great blessing. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much for those of you that are watching this on Sunday morning. If you're watching after Sunday morning, we're so glad that you tuned in. And so again, if you're a Miracle Life member, get involved in a connection group this week. If you're not in one, contact the church and we will get you plugged in to a great, great group. We love you dearly. Have a great, great week in Jesus. And we'll see you again at Miracle Life next week. God bless you so much.